The Massachusetts Supreme Judicial Court says it'll hear a lawsuit later this year brought against the town of Milton by Attorney General Andrea Campbell. She's suing over the town's refusal to comply with a law meant to allow developers to build badly needed housing along MBTA corridors.
What we're doing here is suing a municipality that we've attempted to work with since I started office last year because they refused to come into compliance with a law that is mandatory.
But Luke Schuster argues everyone is making a bigger deal out of this law than it needs to be. He's executive director of the Boston Indicators Research Center at the Boston Foundation and joins me now. Good morning.
Morning.
Can you remind us why some people, like the Attorney General, think this law, the MBTA Communities Act, is so important to implement?
We've done a bunch of research over the last several years around the regional housing shortage. One of the main drivers has been the fact that very small cities and towns had almost complete autonomy to adopt local zoning codes. And what's happened over time is they've adopted more and more restrictive rules for what sorts of housing can get built. So in the vast majority of all land area in Greater Boston, it's literally against the law to build anything other than a large single family home. The state has stepped up a couple of years ago, creating this MBTA Communities law, which is a step, I think, absolutely in the right direction, which creates some minimum baseline expectation that all communities with transit access provide a neighborhood zone that allows for at least some modest multifamily housing. And that's what this law does.
So do you think the way it's written now, it achieves what it needs to achieve to solve the problem that you've identified?
The way the law is written, it only applies to a very small percentage of land area in any given city or town. And then even in that small zone, it doesn't require large skyscrapers or apartment buildings. It just requires some modest, what's called missing middle density, things like triple deckers, small 3, 4, 5-story apartment buildings in some cases, but not more than that. But I think long term, we're going to need much more than that. I've done some back of the envelope math on how much housing this law might produce. And my very rough guess is that in 5 or 10 years, the law might generate 20, 30,000 units of new housing. But the best estimates for how much we need region-wide to actually reduce rents and make housing significantly more accessible suggest we need hundreds of thousands of units over 5 or 10 years.
So if it's not nearly going to have the amount of impact we need it to have, why do you think people are reacting so strongly and it's creating such a debate in some of these communities?
In one sense, people are just far more small-c conservative than we often appreciate, even in a liberal state like Massachusetts. Change is something that can make people nervous. And so I think part of what we're seeing is just anxiety about change. On the side of folks who are really supportive of MBTA communities, I think it's been frustrating for decades to see the state not act to address our regional housing shortage. And it's been genuinely exciting to see a new law get passed that's going to require some regional action. And if we sort of overstate how much we can expect from this one law, I'm worried it's going to make it hard for pro-housing advocates in 5 or 10 years to successfully push for the range of other housing reforms that we're going to need to really solve the crisis.
How have other metropolitan areas handled this?
The state of California has done upzoning really statewide, allowing for 2-family developments on every plot of land, effectively eliminating single-family exclusive zoning. There's a bunch of other metro regions, not just in the United States, but across North America, that just have far greater housing density near their commuter rail transit nodes. So greater Washington, D.C. into Northern Virginia, you get these really dynamic mixed-use neighborhoods right around the sort of half mile of a transit node. Toronto's another great example where in recent years they've developed significant housing density and mixed-use dynamism, and that's really helped moderate housing costs in those areas. But the density levels that are required in MBTA communities are far lower.
And then what do you say to people who are worried about preserving the character of their communities and think that this is going to change it?
This law only applies for the vast majority of communities to less than 1% of the developable land. So even full compliance in all 177 MBTA communities, I think in practice would lead to very little noticeable change to any character in our communities.
Luke Schuster is executive director of the Boston Indicators Research Center at the Boston Foundation. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.